Okay, so let's start with a prayer, okay? Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we start, Father, I ask that your Spirit would be here, that only what you would have shared would be shared. And Lord, please hide me, and I pray that you would be the one that would speak through me, and that you would be preparing everyone's hearts. And I thank you for hearing and answering in Jesus' name. Amen. So it was really difficult to try to decide what to talk about on our very last day, right? Because at the very last day, you hope that this is going to be what culminates everything. And so it was kind of hard this morning at 5 o'clock. I was like, God, I have nothing. And then God gave me something. So praise the Lord. Okay, so I thought, you know, something that has been very helpful for me has been this. In our church, we have been given so much light as far as prophecy and the doctrines and knowing about Jesus, right? And what ends up happening sometimes because of the frailty of the human nature and our pride is that a lot of times we tend to focus upon these things, this knowledge, and the application of it can be lacking. And so then what you find is you find legalism, you find people stuck on behavior, and this is what causes many times for there to be these issues in family. As far as, you know, we tend to look at behavior as how good people are, you know. So how good of a vegetarian are you, right? And so that happens in the church too. And so to a certain degree, it's kind of you have to look at that, because the things that we do is the fruit of how we think, right? So to a certain degree, it is true. You want to make righteous judgments according to the Bible, right? But on the other hand, we have to teach people how to think. Because I've heard a lot of people say, I'm not a good Christian because I'm not a good vegetarian. Do you know what I'm saying? And so we want to teach people how to think in a way that is true. And so part of that has to do with learning how to tell ourselves the truth and learning how to examine our thoughts and making it practical. Because otherwise, what will happen is that we will have a good mountaintop experience here. We will feel good with our friends. We'll feel good because we've had all these nice feelings. And then when we get home, we don't know practically how to make Jesus real to us. And how to go through difficult experiences. And that's the whole thing about life. Life is full of difficult experiences. And how we're going to go through those life experiences is going to be what determines our future. So let's look at thoughts, the power of thought. Electrical power vitalizes the whole system. The electric power of the brain, promoted by mental activity, vitalizes the whole system and is thus an invaluable aid in resisting disease. So this is so interesting. As I have been learning more about gardening and that type of thing, it's really interesting about how you know, Ellen White says that the seed needs not only, you know, the rain and the sunlight, it also needs the electrical power. And I was wondering, where does that come from? And I have a friend, he teaches at the Adventist Association of Agriculture. It's going to be in Portland this year, next year, for anybody who's interested in coming in January. It's in Portland. But anyways, he was telling me about in Africa, because there's a difference between the anaerobic bacteria charge and the aerobic bacteria that's in the soil, they dug a trench real deep and they put these electrical wires down below and up on top, and then they connected them, and they were able to get electrical current real cheaply, right? And I just thought, that's so fascinating how we can make use of these very simple concepts And, you know, the more that we research these things, it really helps us also in thinking about how the body works too. But in any case, it's just really fascinating the way that nature works. I wish I had learned some of these concepts when I was a child, you know, instead of now that I have to, it's a lot harder for me to figure things out. In any case, incorrect thoughts, negative thoughts that cause emotional turmoil nearly always contain gross distortions. So when you're really bothered by something, when you have all this kind of turmoil going on in your life, it's usually because of things that are grossly distorted. What does that mean? Is it true? No, it's false. The Bible tells us that we should think about things that are true, right? Thoughts are so powerful. If you look at what happened with Rogaine, they found that when they gave these participants of the study placebo, which is just basically a sugar pill, or the actual medication, they found that a significant portion of people who got placebo were able to grow hair. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? Yeah, you can grow hair. So this is from the words of Ellen White. Many are lifelong invalids who might be well if they only thought so. And now we think of this in terms of people who are physically unwell, right? So people who are physically unwell, like I was telling you about the whole leaky gut thing, how people think, like, is it because they're thinking about this too much? And so that's why, you know, like they can't tolerate these foods because they're thinking that it's going to hurt them. And that is true for some people. But this is also true in a spiritual sense. How many of us are lifelong invalids because we don't think that we can do any better? And so this... a quote here, courage, hope, faith, sympathy, love promote health and prolong life. A contented mind, a cheerful spirit is health to the body and strength to the soul. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Now, when I went to Micronesia a number of years ago, I did a kind of a week of prayer with the students, and then I was available for prayer and counseling. And I would have them come in if they wanted to, and they can talk with me. And so I'd ask them, so what brings you here? How's everything? And some of them, they wouldn't have an answer for me. They'd be like, everything's okay. And teenagers, you know, you would think they would be able to tell you maybe what's wrong, but a lot of times they couldn't. And so I had a list of thoughts, list of these sentences. These are not mine. I got them from somebody else. And they would be able to look at them and then circle the thoughts that they were thinking. And when that would happen, then they would be able to... I'd be able to start a conversation, because then they would circle one of these things and I'd be like, okay, so what is causing you to think this way? And so here are some of these thoughts. I'm all alone. I can't trust people. I always mess up. I can't be forgiven. No one cares about me. I'm a failure. Why, God? I have to perform. I'm different. And if you think about it, many of us have these thoughts underlying. And I know for myself that when I was starting to this process, that I would see people who would come into my life again. You know, like even coming back to Korean camp meeting for some people, it's associated with thoughts that are negative. I remember when I was... when I was younger, we weren't that well off. And so my mother, to save money, would take us to the school of cosmetology. And there I got a perm. And that perm was really, really bad. Like, I was like, I had a picture of what I wanted my hair to look like. And it looked nothing like that. I was like, please, just don't make me look like my mother. And my sister and I both ended up looking like our mother. And we back at that time, you know, all of our mothers looked the same, right? That was it. You know what I'm talking about, right? And so we ended up with that hairstyle. Plus, we went to the pool every day, like 5 hours a day. So we were dark, and like I had braces and glasses. Plus, I had that perm. I don't see any kids showing up looking like this today. All your kids look really cool. And people would still remember us. You know, they'd be like, oh yeah, I remember you and your sister. But, you know, even things like that, that was kind of hard for me to recover from. So, you know, but when you're going through childhood, you have all kinds of things that happen. And that intersect kind of negatively with your character and your personality, right? And so it's, some of us have not gone through maybe terrible situations, but the way that it's intersected with whatever personality issues that we've been born with, right? My parents said, Joyce, you were one of the most sensitive children. And I was like, I know. You know, like if a teacher were to say, Joyce, be quiet, I'd be like, oh, it would ruin my whole day. And it really impacted how I felt about myself as a person, right? And those things, you know, we have to figure out for us to be able to move forward in life, right? And so these thoughts, are these true? Are you all alone? A lot of people, as they get older in life, you know, I live by myself. And so some people feel very sorry for me. But I don't feel sorry for myself. Actually, like, I'm at a point in my life where I'm very busy. I feel like God's given me a purpose and a mission, and I'm very thankful. And so, like, it's not like I'm thankful in a... Sometimes I think there's, like, this false pride that comes in. Like, I'm all alone, and I can, you know, I'm so great. And I don't have that at all, because I... everyone goes through loneliness too. Like, I think whether you're married or you're single, you're going to have these feelings. And so you have to figure out how to get through life, right? And learning to tell yourself the truth, not in any kind of way that is false. Because I think the world says, you're great no matter what you are. You know, like, people who struggle with weight issues and stuff, they're like, you're beautiful no matter what you are. And it's like, then we start saying things that are not true, right? Because all of us have room for improvement. All of us need Jesus. And so the best way to tell ourselves the truth is to, as we are going through these thoughts, like, these are other thoughts. I am good enough. I have no needs. I have to be the center of attention. See how superior I am. My past is in the past. My security is in knowing more than others. These kinds of thoughts are actually more difficult to identify, because you do better when you're doing it this way. And you might get through many years of life being very successful, and then you get to a point where you're like, this is causing problems in my relationship with other people. And so usually when you're looking around, like Charlie was saying, like, you're looking around at relationships, and you're looking around to see, like, how are my relationships going? You know, how is it going with my kids, and how is it going with my sister and my family and that kind of thing? And then you realize, I had to, my sister is a very close friend to me. But she's very different than myself. And so there are times in my life that she has not met my needs. How many of you have had siblings who have not met your needs? Or parents who have not met your needs, right? And that causes a lot of pain, doesn't it? And so for me, I had to get to this, you know, examining my thoughts. Because, like, sometimes I think, this is too painful. I can't keep going on like this. This is too painful. And then it got to where I realized, well, Joyce, what is the correct thought? You know, is your sister here to meet your needs? What's your purpose in life? Your purpose in life is to share Jesus and to be a reflection of who Jesus is. And your purpose is here so that you can help your sister see Jesus better. You know, when I started thinking that way, it's like, I forget, I don't even remember the way that, you know, if my sister has hurt me or whatever, because my sister has forgiven me of a lot too, right? I don't meet her needs. And so it's been a blessing for me to start thinking that way. Some of you don't have those issues as much because you're not as sensitive as I am. But I'm using my sensitivity to help you guys learn to how some of these thoughts are. Because some of you don't think about it, and you just go through life and you might be hurting other people because you're not sensitive, right? And so some of the words that come out of these incorrect thoughts are things like this. And these are when I deal, when I, you know, help people with like diet and lifestyle. And I help people with diet and lifestyle because, you know, the gospel, the health message is the gospel in practice. And what I mean by that is that when I talk with people and I try to inspire them to something better, I'm thinking that they're going to be hearing God's voice more clearly, right? Because the Holy Spirit is always at work to try to help people make better decisions, right? So when I say, hey, you know, you can do this, and they say, some of them say things like this, like I was telling you about a friend of mine who really believes in good health. But he'll say, Joyce, I feel so much better since I've been eating better. And then I'm like, well, so when do you not feel good? He's like, well, when I cheat. And I'm like, well, why would you cheat then? And and he'd be like, well, when I go to a birthday party and I eat birthday cake, and it makes me feel bad. But then I'm like, well, why would you do that? Because I'm really trying to understand how he's thinking, right? He was like, Joyce, you've got to live. But, and I said, did you hear what you just said? Because you hear that those words are not true. They are true. You've got to live. But they're coming from thoughts that are incorrect and that don't align with what he truly believes. Because he truly believes in good health, right? But he is saying there's something in his thoughts that is dissonant. Because even though he believes in good health, he wants good health, he's willing to hurt himself for the sake of a birthday. And what I tell people is this. I say, hey, especially for people when they're gluten sensitive and they're like, but every once in a while when it's my birthday, I want a cake or something. I say, hey, well, let me tell you how much sense this makes to your body. Like if I were to break your arm and then I were to nurse you back to health in 2 months. And then I were to say, hey, you're all nursed back to health, but it's your birthday. Let's break your arm again. And you'd be like, what? Why would that make any sense? I'm saying, well, that's what your stomach is telling you. Because, you know, for your stomach, it takes it, well, your digestive system, it takes a couple months to heal. And so whenever you do gluten for people who are very sensitive, it can set you back months. And so for us to say, well, I'm pretty good about it. Every couple weeks, I might eat a pizza or this type of thing. For us who are very sensitive, it's like we're just very sensitive even to these things. And it's just made me more aware about how the body works and more aware to the Holy Spirit and more aware to like just wanting the best. But you see how these things come into like the spiritual life, how it impacts the physical life. And I'm sorry if like I sound like really strong. I don't always sound like that. Like when I talk to people, I'm very gentle, usually. Sometimes it comes out. Okay, but sometimes when I talk to people, they'll say things like, that's impossible, or I'm only human. That's true, you're only human, but what's the biblical principle? Like the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You can do the impossible through Christ, right? And yesterday we said that when your will combines with the divine, that it is, what's the word? Omnipotent. Okay? I was talking to a man who had diabetes. He's very, very struggling with weight. And he's having all kinds of complications, neuropathy and just terrible complications because of the diabetes. And I was telling him about this food. You know, when I bring people over to my house and I cook for them and I show them how to eat, they tell me things like this. They say, your food, it stays with me like all day. Like, I don't get hungry. I feel really good. And it tastes really good. They're like, wow, this tastes really good. It's very simple. I don't really like cook very fancy or anything because I work full time and everything. So it's very simple. But when people come over, it's kind of funny because when people come over, sometimes I make things for the first time. Like I remember I learned how to make these gluten-free buckwheat sunflower seed waffles. I'd never made waffles before, but I was like, I'm going to teach people how to make this. And so like I bought a waffle maker and I did it all for the first time. And I was like, Lord, wow, I never thought I don't know how to use this waffle maker. And I was like burning them. I was like, Jesus, please help me. Please turn my waffles into good food. and you know what? Like, it was like the water that turned into wine. Like, everyone's like, wow, these waffles are great. I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. And I don't recommend this kind of thing, but for some of us who are busy, you have to start somewhere, right? If you wait till perfection and you're like Martha Stewart, it doesn't happen. But Jesus really blessed. And anyways, with this story, with this man, I was telling him how to eat, and he was like, but what if I'm hungry? And that's all that he could focus on. Because something maybe had happened in his past, that maybe he had had hypoglycemic attacks or whatever. He had a lot of fear. I had other people who came over to my house, and some of them, they had never seen cauliflower. They'd never seen lettuce, that is, it grows out of the ground. And so these are very simple things that you can teach people. But like this one lady, she was like, I've never eaten an avocado. All she'd eaten was chicken and salad. And she'd never eaten any of these other foods. And I was like, well, why don't you try it? She's like, well, I'm scared. What if I don't like it? You know, and some of us, we kind of laugh at this kind of thing. But we do the same things for other things that we're not used to, right? And so we all have different things that we're not used to, but we start telling ourselves things that are not true. So what I'm trying to say, this thing is that we don't even know what's in our hearts because we've grown used to doing this all of our lives, right? And so the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But we can ask God, search my heart and know me. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Because all these things that we've talked about, courage and witnessing, all these things, right? We can't do anything about until God exposes us to us what our weaknesses are, what the obstacles are, and then he can give us victory through them. 2 Corinthians says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When I have to tell you something, like when I see things about, you know, there's this Harvard Mastery of Stress where they studied 160 some young men, and they asked them, how close do you feel to your mother? How close do you feel to your father? How close do you feel to both of your parents? And they found that those who felt close to both of their parents, they had about, let's see, like, they had 25% risk, say, of developing peptic ulcers, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, these types of things. Compared to those who felt close to neither parent, I think it was like 90%. Risk of developing these issues. And, you know, it was similar to a lesser degree if you felt close to one parent or not. Like, if you felt close to your mother, it was very protective. Close to your father, very protective, versus those who didn't, you know. But close to both of your parents, it was the most protective. And I didn't know my father until I was 4. And so when he came into my life, you know, it's not like someone told him, this is how you meet the needs of your daughter. And so my father, I loved him dearly, but he had gone through a lot himself, going through the war and all these things. And so I had a picture of Jesus. Like, when I got older, I was like, Lord, because my dad wasn't here my first 4 years of his life, and when he came into my life, it was such a huge adjustment. I said, I really don't know what God looks like as a father. And it caused me a lot of pain to hear these kinds of studies because I was like, well, then I guess my life is not going to be good, right? Because that's what the studies indicate. And, but this is the thing. In Exodus, it says that God is merciful, shows mercy to what? Thousands of them that love him. And this verse says this, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There are statistics, right? And so according to the way that human nature works, it is true. But the good news is that if you are in Christ, you can have all of this in your past. But God says that he can make all things new. And so that's why it's so important for us to know Bible promises. And that's why it's so important for us whenever we are tempted to get into these negative patterns of thinking and these, when we catch ourselves thinking thoughts that are not true, we have to put in the correct thought. It's our responsibility to put in that correct thought. And we can choose to do that. And that is the weapon of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is cognitive behavioral therapy. And in the ESV, as we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Obeying Christ means that we think clearly and we think correctly. And this is going to take practice. Just like everything else, we need a constant sense of the ennobling power of pure thoughts. The only security for any soul is right thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The power of self-restraint strengthens by exercise, and that which at first seems difficult by constant repetition grows easy until right thoughts and actions become habitual. This is the thing. We want the transforming grace of God to take right hold of thinking powers. So if you continue to think about the things you can't do, then you'll continue not being able to do them. It conforms our entire experience to that which we are looking at. But by beholding Jesus, we are changed into his likeness. This is the power that Jesus gives us. This is the power that Jesus gives us. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God. You know, this is the one last thought. I know that I've gone late today, but I just want to share the power, the source of power for your life. Many of us are going to go through times that we are going to be all alone. The Bible says that, you know, in the last days that we're going to have children who betray parents, parents who betray children. This is going to be the worst form of persecution. And what I have found, I remember when I was working in church ministry, and it was in a church that was very difficult, and the secretary was being very difficult, and I was just telling a friend of mine about this experience, and she started laughing, and she said, Joyce, she said, just look at that person as a free life coach. And as I thought about it, I thought, that is correct. I said, every experience that I am going through is practice for the future. So every experience that we go through, we can learn to bring to Jesus. It is practice for a much more difficult time. We're going to go through times where we are going to be all alone. And we have to learn how to think in those circumstances. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, as I saw a picture of Jesus and the thief on the cross next to him, and I was wondering, you know, when we are with somebody, like when you're with somebody, it doesn't matter if the world is against you, right? You feel like you're going to be okay because you're with somebody, right? And when I was thinking about that thief on the cross, I thought, that thief, once he gave his life to Jesus, what a comfort it must have been to be with Jesus. To know he's not alone. And what a comfort for Jesus to have this thief believe in him. It doesn't matter what we go through and how alone we feel. We are never truly alone when we know that we have Jesus. Amen. And let this be our source of strength. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close this morning devotion, I want to praise you and I want to thank you for the gift of Jesus, who was tempted in all points as we are. Lord, there is nothing that we experience that Jesus does not understand. And there is nothing that we don't experience that that he doesn't understand, and his heart breaks with ours, Lord. Lord, we thank you, though, that this earth is not our final resting place. We have a reality of a home that is going to be forever, where there will be no more tears. Lord, there will be joy and love. And we will see our loved ones again. Most of all, we will see you face to face. And Lord, that experience, we know it can and needs to start now. So I pray for each one of us. Father, please show us your love in a real way. As we get up, help us to be able to just be able to see you and talk to you and say, Father, how can I bless you today? How can I experience your love more fully? And I pray that that experience will grow and grow and grow until these thoughts that Satan tempts us with, they're something that we don't, they become foreign to us. And all we think about is the truth as it is in Jesus, as we find it in the Word of God. We thank you so much for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.